All right, David joins us for the Camp Report in 15 minutes right now. It's Gordo's Corner, brought to us by McDonald's.
Well, it's not very often.
Gordo the weirdo.
It's not very often that we have a superstar on the program. We've had people like Kevin Costner, but those they don't come around all that often.
You're right.
And we're very honored to have someone that is, I dare say, right up there with Kevin Costner, maybe a notch below. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program, Corby Davidson.
Of The Ticket?
Thank you.
Of The Ticket.
Whoa.
Thank you. Stop it.
All right, I want to start off.
Jeremy, or yes, Gordon, go ahead.
I want to start off with
with
your laugh, because you have one of the most infectious laughs on The Ticket, if not the most. Mm-hmm. And I'm always fascinated by, do people change their laughs over time? And have you had that laugh your whole life?
Yeah.
And has it ever made you self-conscious? Do you hate your own laugh? Do you like your laugh?
It wasn't recorded when I was in third and fourth grade and played like this and chopped up and accentuated. And so I never knew. I swear to God, I never knew. I mean, my friends would tell me, you know, they would laugh at my laugh and everything like that, but I never really knew until...
You didn't know it was that crazy?
No!
That it was so high-pitched?
No!
Dolphin-like?
No!
Pterodactyl-like?
No, I didn't know anything.
Do your kids have that laugh?
No, not that bad. There's a form of it, though, for sure, where they're laughing really hard or cry laughing, where it'll get pretty crazy, but... No, I'm really unique with that.
You know, I have a theory that Corby will be the longest lived of all Ticket members.
Because he laughs the most.
Yeah, because he, you know, he's in shape, he keeps himself in shape, but also he laughs a lot, and they say that's great for your health to be a person who laughs a lot. And your grandfather was like 160 when he died.
Mm-hmm. He was 161.
Corby like in Zag's... What?
What? What just happened there?
I don't know. I couldn't talk.
Huh. So I think that you're going to live a very long time. Now, this is despite the fact that you habitually poison yourself with alcohol.
You're right, Gordon.
And
which,
I heard,
including
I heard
Friday
got,
night.
I heard you got pretty blasted on Friday night.
I'm not proud, but I also blame our boss for this, who wouldn't let me leave. It was a direct order.
Don't leave. Mic, like,
don't
really
leave.
Hot.
Don't worry about that.
Okay.
He doesn't care.
Killers. What is killer watching?
Pegging, probably a movie or something.
Peggingunlimited.com. What is that?
Stop it.
What is that?
Or just I was a witness to this, and Corby was trying to leave the bar for an hour and a half. He wanted to go home early and rest up for golf.
I did.
We had a big golf match on Saturday.
But our boss was bullying him into more drinking.
He really was. And it was shocking. And I will file a complaint.
I think that's an HR matter.
Yeah, it is.
You felt intimidated by your boss.
I did.
Well,
you stay
don't
and
leave.
Drink.
Don't you dare leave.
Right. That and then just thing. Shots rolling in and everything.
Bringing you shots, leaning way into you, telling you how funny he thinks
cool
you
star,
are.
Oh, yeah.
How talented he thinks you are.
You want a house? I'm going to get you a house.
Hey, man. This is like my favorite on the afternoon show. Do you like, you want to hang out sometime?
Yeah, so we have our big golf match on Saturday. It's a rematch of our two-man teams. It's Bob and me against Corby and Craig.
Yeah.
And y'all beat us last year.
Yes.
Obviously.
With a lot of guts and guile.
Mm-hmm. And the first time we played last year, we had to go extra holes, so we thought, let's just keep it the same deal as far as strokes and everything, and it was a very competitive match last year, so let's do the same thing this year. But we thought we'd add something to it, and that is put something on the line, not money or anything like that, but let's do a payoff bet to where the loser has to do something ridiculous at training camp.
And in this drunken haze that we were in, I was in on Friday night, we concocted the idea that the losing team would have to there's a few parameters here, would have to approach a cowboy, mm-hmm. preferably a black guy over 250 pounds.
All right. Yeah. Why does that matter?
That was Craig's caveat.
That was not mine.
It was
I think
too.
It was mine.
Oh.
I've never yeah. had that stuff.
And then
shut up.
So then you have to act like you're doing an interview. So it's a two-man interview, or one guy's doing the interview and the other guy's right there. This is the mm-hmm. losing team. And then it's the choice of the winning team. Somewhere within the interview, you have to break into song and sing for 2 minutes the song of the winning team's choice to said 250-pound black cowboy. 250-plus pounds.
Right.
Why does it matter what race he is?
That's Craig.
It really doesn't.
It wasn't my deal.
It really doesn't. But, the other guy who's watching this interview, you know, the other guy's talking generically with the cowboy, and then the other guy who's watching starts the song, and then the guy who's doing the interview then joins in.
Yes.
And the idea is come up with a ridiculous song, like you brought up Knights of White Satin.
right.
Knights in White Satin?
Knights of White Satin, yeah.
So is the concept that you're supposed to pretend that you're media members who don't know each other?
It doesn't, who knows?
That really doesn't
matter.
Yeah,
okay. Pretty much, yes. You walk up and let's say I'm interviewing you, and then off to the side, Craig will be 2 feet away or whoever, then they start singing, and it's so infectious that the other guy just kind of, you never close your eyes anymore. And you got to carry this out for 2 minutes. Now, the guy, you don't know the reaction. You don't know. You don't know.
What if he joins in?
Yeah.
And you got a big funny
scene. It was a big Broadway scene.
It wouldn't happen. A musical's going to break out.
Boy, that would be the best if the player joined in.
Yeah.
God, that would be great.
Right.
But he's probably going to start walking away. So do we have to follow him?
Yeah, you're going to get at least, I think, 30 seconds of just like him looking around like, what's going on here?
Why'd you use that voice?
Well, I'm 250 pounds in black.
Oh, my gosh. Corby?
It's 7:28.
No, it's not.
Sports.
Oh, here it is. 7:28.
Locally.
Local time.
So hopefully then, after that 30 seconds, he stays there. But if he doesn't,
how does Corby still have a job?
We have
Does anyone ever wonder that?
We have to keep walking with him. Yeah, we have to follow him.
Huh.
Keep singing.
Let me hear a little bit of the player singing a song.
No, I don't sing. I just talk. I can't sing like
come
that.
Come on, try.
Well, anyway, so we played with this bet
yes,
hovering over our head.
We did not, yes, I did not want to do that.
No. And so it was really competitive, and it was a little bit nerve-wracking until Craig and I got up 3 holes on the front nine, and then I'm staring at a 5-foot par putt on the ninth to go up 4 heading into the back nine, and I'm almost thinking to Craig, I feel sorry for them because we're beating them so bad, and George is going to be so pissed on the back, and Bob's going to be miserable. And then George is completely out of the hole, and there's Bob Sturm, 24 handicap, who chips in for birdie off the green on number nine, and suddenly it changed everything.
And here's the really funny thing. That morning I sent Bob a couple of videos, one with the swing tip, the other one I told him to visualize great things, and I sent him the Tiger chip in at 16 at the Masters. And I said, you're going to make a play like this today. And what does he do? He chips in at number nine to turn the momentum in the match.
Yeah.
And then on we go to the back nine. And I can't even remember what happened in the last 3 holes.
Well, you parred out, George, on the last 3 holes. We were one up going into 16. It was back and forth. We finally got the lead back on a brilliant par by me, Craig, if you will.
Do you think Kat likes this talk very much?
But there's a payoff in the end.
Payoff.
Yeah, there's a payoff in the end.
Surprised the management phone hasn't rung already.
And then George over here hits like the most impossible bunker shot where I couldn't believe.
I had no play.
No.
I had no play.
None.
And my only hope was to burn it into the side of the bunker and hope that it popped out. And I said, well, I got to try it. And I tried it. I had to lift the club straight up, come down on it. And sure enough, it burns right into the side of the bunker, comes out about 5 feet away. The most amazing shot I've ever hit in my life.
It really was.
There's no way I could go hit that 100 more times and not do what I just did. And I sank the putt, fist pumped.
Oh, yeah, that's his first of three straight fist pumps. Really awkward, too.
A lot of showboating out of George.
Then he made a five-footer on 17 to put them up one going into 18.
So I don't think that was a five-footer we just heard.
So no. Then Craig and I have to win 18. And then, man, I got put in the bunker by the greenside bunker, and it turned into a Three Stooges routine in there. Where I'm blading it over here and popping it out over there, and we ended up losing.
It's like Bobby Knight in the video.
Yeah, it's exactly
just
what it was.
Just like that little.
So one more fist pump on 18.
Oh, yeah. It was so superfluous, too. It was such a rub at your face.
Didn't really need it, but I wanted to make it on you, and I did. It was like a 10-footer, knocked it down. And
yeah. So
Tiger pumped it.
They won, and so Craig and I now have to
do the song.
Do the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you picked your song?
They pick it, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys picked it.
Yeah, we've thought about Wham. We've got a few other ideas, but it will be a ridiculous song that no one would want to sing in front of a Cowboy player, and you guys have to sing it.
Yeah. It's going to suck.
It's not going to be that frat song, is it?
No.
Right.
What frat song?
What are you doing?
I'm just
saying. Why are you
saying?
We're going
trying
to back?
Do a radio figured you guys show. Would be trying to put each other in the most uncomfortable spot possible.
No, you can't have a song like that.
By the way, I think it's good that you're coaching up Bob, that you're motivating him, because I noticed, and I don't know if this is part of his sandbagging routine, because he's a better player
so
than
negative.
He is so negative during a round about, oh, I'm getting dehydrated. Oh, it's so hot. Oh, we're playing the back tees.
I know.
Every hole he's got something that he's complaining about, and I don't know if that's what drives him or
I don't know, but we fought it the whole way around, and finally I said, Bob, stop it. We got to win this thing. Let's go.
Is he a drainer?
No, he's just a negative energy. He's just so...
That's
oh,
a drainer.
Wow. Yeah, I guess so.
You know what? It feels like he's having a miserable time, and then it was either on the 17th tee or something, and he turns to me and goes, God, this is a blast. And I thought, oh, I thought you were having a horrible time. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, I was. I was having an awful time. I felt so bad the whole day.
You didn't look very good on the first tee.
He got it.
But you hit it fine all day long.
He got in the car that morning and smelled like a distillery. And I thought, oh, no, this is our A player. We might be in trouble. God, and he goes, don't worry. I got this.
I got this.
Craig goes, you reek of alcohol.
That is so gross. That is such a gross feeling.
Oh, man. It took me 2 days to get over it. It's just terrible. Terrible.
So, have you had a drink since then?
Yeah, we had some beers at the golf course.
Gross.
And then we had a big night planned, which George ended up having, but I couldn't even, because we were going to celebrate George's 50th birthday, but I couldn't even hang. I had to bail at 9:30 whenever Craig, you were beaten down too.
Yeah.
And had to get out of there, and I was...
So, George went out.
Celebrating.
Who did you go out with on Saturday night?
Title. Donovan and Rhines and Blake.
Alec Drake.
With us. And Alec Drake.
Just know that it ended up at Denny's at 3 in the morning.
Did it really?
Well, it's breakfast.
Oh, man, that is classic drunk right there. Anytime moons over my hammy or taquitos are involved, those are always the late-night remedy to the night of partying that you just had.
Well, we had to celebrate a very competitive round of golf that ended in drama on the 18th.
I'm not looking forward to this. And you know what? We're going to have to, whenever they do actually choose the song, we're going to have to rehearse this.
I know.
I
thought about
getting it down.
I'm going to have to carry the lyrics with me. I probably can't memorize them.
I think that you need to add choreography. Like, there has to be some sort of dance
that
goes along with it. Something synchronized.
You did promise the Corby dance if you lost the...
What is the Corby dance? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that thing.
All right. I'll work that in somehow, some way.
So what do you guys have coming up on the show today? We're here to cross promote.
Today.
Overcusser?
No. Oh! Oh, yeah. At some point today, we're going to get into our trip up into the Ventura Hills. But, no, I had an uncomfortable interfacing with one of the Cowboys that I think we'll probably do at 5:10 or 5:30 concerning Throatzilla.
Oh my gosh.
Why do you want to bring that up?
Throatzilla was she was the woman who – what was the player that hired her?
Lyle Collins.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he wanted her to do something with his salad.
Yes.
Something a woman should never do to a man.
No. Yes. No. And he forgot to pay her. Unfortunately.
Didn't he, like, offer to take her to Applebee's or something?
I think so. Yeah, weird. I'll buy you a meal. Like she was homeless.
Weird payoff.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
And you know what? By the way, speaking of that, I have it under very good authority that these guys out here, as you can imagine, in this football fraternity, unmerciful hell they put that guy through.
Oh, I bet.
Because of Throatzilla.
Oh, really?
Like during OTAs and stuff like that.
Especially because he's a rookie.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Like, hey, Throatzilla, get over here. I mean, they're just coaches, everybody.
Hey,
just
Throatzilla. We just need Throatzilla.
Where's Throatzilla?
All right, well, good. Well, everybody tune into the Hardline 3-7 today.
By the way, Corby, did you play your Jason Garrett interview?
I did.
You're the coach whisperer. You know that.
I don't want to think about it.
You are.
Coach whisperer? No.
He's got this really awkward smile, like really nervous energy that he has around you. Like he's feel – you almost suck him into it. Like, I don't want to do this. I won't do it. I won't – okay, I'll do it.
I don't.
And then he does it.
Good.
Yeah, but I just had the feeling like there were snipers trained on me the whole time. You know, like there were people who – but he had a nice conversation with me and talked a little bit about his family and his personal life. You
That's
know?
Awesome.
So it was nice to see that Robot Garrett is a human.
Good for you.
All right, Corby, thank you.
Thank you.
That's Corby, and that's the corner. David Moore with the Camp Report next here from Oxnard.